Blog Talk Radio.
Beautiful day here in Connecticut, where I am broadcasting from, and I pray that it's a gorgeous day for you as well, wherever you are. And for those of you who are of the Christian faith, I say happy Holy Week to you. This is a special week for us who celebrate Christianity. And we are looking forward to Resurrection Day and all of that good stuff. So today I decide that we are going to have a non-traditional segment. We are having open mic day where you can call in and share some of the things that you're doing as an entrepreneur to stay encouraged, even during the times when the odds are stacked against you. So I want you to feel free to call in. The number is 646-915-8166. I want to welcome guests 852-895 to the chat room. And I pray that you will take the opportunity to call in and share if you're an entrepreneur and some of the things that you are doing to stay encouraged. Before I take your call, I want to do a bit of housekeeping. And you recall that back in September, I announced that I was one of the contributing authors to the book Celebrating 365 Days of Gratitude. And I want to share one of the writings from the book, and we already have a caller on, and I'll go to the caller momentarily as soon as I read this, but I think this was so fitting. And it's not mine I'm sharing. I'm sharing from an author by the name of Annie Hopkins. And Annie is on April the 10th, is the day that hers is on. And it's gratitude for the world, for the sun and the moon, for the wind and the rain, for the mountains and the plateaus, and for valleys, for deserts and for oceans, for streams and for rivers, for day and night, for summer, autumn, winter, and spring, for morning dew and evening mist, for caves and for cliffs, for islands and adventures, for trees and for woods, for leaves, for flowers, and for fruit, for grass and for shrub, for fresh air and for hope, for food, for grape and for grains, for warmth and for shelter, for water and for life, for pebbles and for great rocks, for sand and for soil, for snow and for ice, for forest and for the jungles, for plants and for animals, for love, for nature and for nurture, for tides and for turtles, for coral reefs, for seaweed and for shells, for amber and for the amenities, for herbs and for natural remedies, for the wisdom of the ages, for moon shadow and sunshine, for light and for dark, for new life and for old age, for the stars and the planet, for unicorns, dragons, mythologies, for imagination and creativity, for life and for beauty, for allowing us to share these precious gifts. You know, as I was reading through the book this morning, I decided I wanted to share this because we tend to be in a world where people are complaining. And if we just take a deep breath and put things in perspective, we come to understand how blessed we are. How blessed we are. So I want to encourage you. I often don't take the time to promote the things I'm doing. And I want to encourage you to go to my website, DaphneClarkHudson.com, and please support me by picking up a copy of my book, Conversation on Success, as well as Celebrating 365 Days of Gratitude. So I have a caller on, and before I continue with the conversation, I am going to go to the caller. But I want to encourage you to call in and share with us some of the things that you're doing to stay encouraged. Caller, good morning. Your last four digits are 7964. Would you state your name and where you're calling from, please?
Yes, hi. Good morning. My name is Sandra Davis. And I'm calling from the great state of New York.
Hey, for New York. Good morning. And what do you have to share this morning? We are having open mic day where I'm asking, you know, are you an entrepreneur?
Yes, I am. I am. Thank you very much. Pardon me?
No, go ahead, because I'm taking calls from entrepreneurs to share some of the things that they are doing to stay encouraged during these challenging times.
Well, first of all, I have had various business models that I have attempted in the past.
Yes.
I have been a network marketer, and now I have my own business built from my own concepts, looking at the marketplace and seeing what is really needed. So because I enjoy what I do, there are times when I get very frustrated, but it's something that I believe in, and it's something that I would do, even if I weren't paid for it, which
Amen.
I am paid for it, thankfully. But I would do it. So I think that has a lot to do with it. I think people need to, you know, soul search sometimes and really
mm-hmm.
figure out, am
mm-hmm.
I in the right business? Because I think that starts there. If you're in something that you enjoy, it's something that is a part of naturally who you are, then it's much easier to stay encouraged.
Yes.
You know, during sure. those times when days may pass and you don't,
right.
you know, you don't have a positive reaction about, you know, your services, meaning you don't, you know, land a client or make
right.
a sale. If you enjoy it and you believe in it, it makes it so much easier than to just keep going.
Right, right. Because what's your name again, John? What's your name?
Sandra.
Sandra. I'm sorry. Excuse me.
Yes.
Oh, I'm glad I'm not close to you for you to pop me in the forehead. You know, Sandra, I oftentimes have the conversation with people that we as entrepreneurs, we ought to focus on making a difference versus just have our full concentration and focus on how much money I am going to make out of what I am doing. Because I know it is human nature. When they see that you're after their money, they stay away from you. But if they realize that you are really adding value to who they are and who they are looking to become, they will compensate you much more than you would have invoiced them for.
You know, I no longer do network marketing, but I think network marketing has really changed the business model and the way of customer engagement. Because in network marketing, most of your business comes from customer referrals, and you're sitting down with the customer, or you're, you know, engaging on a phone call with the customer, but you're really showing them how what you have has value. So now that we add that to internet marketing. By the way, I am a internet marketer, and my specialty is helping small business and professionals promote themselves online so that they can also drive their customers offline if they have an offline location, store location or retail location. Because one of the things that really has exploded is social media. And by social media, there's so much out there now that businesses are now having to really focus on customer engagement and really finding out what the customer is interested in. Because what we found in marketing is that your customer is your biggest fan. Your customer is your biggest source of new business, not just retaining them as customers, but word of mouth is the most powerful force there is.
That's right.
Which is the foundation for, you know, social media. Yes.
Mm-hmm. How, as an entrepreneur, how are you effectively leveraging social media to grow your business?
Well, one of the things that I tell people automatically is get yourself a Facebook fan page, get yourself a Twitter account. There are a lot more out there. Get yourself a website blog, a website where you can, you know, post your comments daily, every other day, or weekly. You know, those are the basic accounts that you need to start with, and you need to start encouraging your existing customers to become sign up for accounts so that they can follow you and become interactive with you on those social media accounts. So, you know, basically you want to start out with those four accounts. And then you start encouraging and engaging with your customers, you know, talking to them about their customer experience, allowing your customers to even post things that they weren't happy with. You know, one of the biggest challenges I have with working with small businesses, businesses don't like to put their dirty laundry out there. But you know what? I tell businesses, you know, it's a lot better for your customer to tell you something that wasn't pleasant for them. You can immediately change that. You can acknowledge that with the customer. You could say, you know what, you had a bad experience. We have corrected that situation. And because you have, you know, blessed us with this, you know, your next purchase will give you 20% off, you know, to encourage that customer to come back and other customers, you know, to come forward. And then a lot of times what we found is other customers will see the person make the issue or complaint, and your customers will go to defend you before sometimes you even get a chance to address the issue. So it's a great, pardon me?
Yeah, and it shows that you're taking responsibility.
Yes.
Taking the responsibility, and it allows you to grow from where you are. Because if you cannot correct the things that aren't working, it means that you're going to be stagnant where you are. So who is best to tell you what's not working than the people who you have as customers or clients?
Exactly. So that is my biggest challenge with some business owners. They are afraid of putting it all out there like that. Now, you know, the social media is excellent. What the services that we do is we will build the social media package for you. We will interconnect them. We, you know, will help you with building your website. A lot of individuals have websites, but they're static websites. So now you need a new addition to your website or a new website that will actually allow you to post. If, you know, you don't want to do that, then I encourage people to go to Facebook, where there can be a limited amount of interaction, but you can at least get that interaction going.
Sandra, you brought up an important point, because there are many entrepreneurs that do not have a website. And I think they don't have one because they really don't know what their needs are. What are some questions you think an entrepreneur ought to answer before sitting with someone to consult about a website? I think they ought to have a checklist in place, so they know exactly the kind of conversation they are going to have when they sit with that person. Not just what the person is going to tell you need, but you also need to know what your needs are.
Well, you know, that's like a consultation right there in itself. That's something that I will arrange to set aside some time with a business owner to do a consultation. You know, I can encourage your listeners to reach me at service@thesocialdoor.com.
But Sandra,
and checklist.
Sandra,
yes?
Hold on. Please answer the question. I ask you, what are some questions that an entrepreneur need to be able to answer before they go for that consultation?
Well, primarily, you know, a business owner needs to evaluate what are they doing now and how is it working for them. That's usually the first place that I'd like to go.
Yeah, but
if you want to grow, you have to change what you're doing. You know, the old saying is, if you continue doing what you're doing, you're going to continue to get what you got.
Yeah, but
so what my program is, I like to put companies on the internet to gather a presence on the internet to reach out and get noticed and get a buzz on about their business.
Yeah, well, I think I'm not getting my question clear enough to you. I understand about what you do and what you offer. But what I'm trying to get at is that a lot of entrepreneurs do not have a presence. However, I think it's of vital importance before they sit with a consultant to know what it is that they want. I remember years ago, and I'm not pointing finger at this young man because he was good at what he did. But when I sat with him about my first website, I did not have any idea what it was that I needed. I knew the work and the service that I was providing. But when I sat with him, I listened to everything he told me that I needed, which really did not work for what I do. And I learned a valuable lesson from that experience that you must know, you got to, whether it's through research or something, before you sit with a consultant, you need to have a clear idea of what your needs are and what are the things that will add value to what you are doing. And I'm asking you.
Well, I would ask, I think I've already said most of it. You know, you need to, as an owner, you want to know what type of value you want to give to your customer and how would you best deliver that value to your customer. Where are your customers at? How do you reach them at where they're at? You know, how do I locate additional people who are interested in my product?
Yeah.
Where are they at? You know, what is the best vehicle for me to reach them? You know, the internet is vast, so there's a lot of opportunity.
That's right.
You can build a website, or you can go to Twitter, or you can go to Facebook, or you can buy advertising. You can build a list and build a customer list. You know, there are a vast amount of things that you can do, which a specialist will help you with. But your basic thing is, who is my customer? How do I reach them? What are they interested in? What is the best mechanism for me to reach them?
Right.
Serve them. Those are, you know, they're the same basic marketing questions.
Right.
It's just that your marketing is different than advertising. Marketing
That's
is
right.
really just shouting out to the public, I'm here, this is what I do, how can I serve you?
Yes, and you just answered what I need, because there's so much out there, as you say, and people are confused. You know, people think that you have to get a flashy website, it has to have this, it has to have that, and that's really not the truth, because
I personally think for business websites, and there's two types of business websites. There's a business website where you want to give them a little information about yourself. You want to let them know where you are. You want to let them know your hours, and you want to let them know what services or products that you have. That's one type of website. There's another website where you might want a blog, where you're providing a lot of information for your customer, and you're able to write something daily or weekly about how your professional expertise regarding the particular service that or program that you provide. So you're providing information, content value. That's the second type of website. Then you want to go to your 2.0s, as we call it in the business, meaning Twitter, or you want to go to LinkedIn, and or you want to go to Facebook, so that you can have a quick way to, some people post to Twitter every hour. Some people they're actively engaged in their community and letting people know, if you're a speaker, for example, you want to tweet to them, my show is coming on, or this is what we talked about, or this was my guest, you want to constantly be able to engage on Twitter.
Right.
So it depends on the type of accounts that the different, ways that you want to engage your customer relies on the different platforms that you use.
Right. Okay.
And then there's mobile. If you're a business that's on the street, you want to develop a mobile presence. You want a mobile website, because now people are using their little mobile and their phone and their iPad, and they all, people are using all types of mobile devices, so your desktop website will not look properly on your mobile site. So, there's a lot out there.
So much, there's so much to learn. Okay. All right. Go ahead. I want to thank you for taking the time to call and to invest in my listeners. Why don't you go ahead and give them your website? And I encourage you to stop by the show page and mark it favorite. And if you do that, you'll be kept informed as to who my guests are. I want to thank you for your investment of knowledge and time into this segment. So give the listeners your contact information, please.
Sure. You can contact me at Sandra Davis. My email is, you can contact me at service@thesocialdoor.com, or go to our website, which is www.thesocialdoor.com.
All right. Well, I thank you so much, and I'm sure you probably have some people that you can tweet and tell them to call in and share what their experience is, because we are having open mic day today. So I want to thank you so much, Sandra, and let's stay connected. Let us just connect on some of those social media, see how we can add value to each other.
Okay, well, thank you so much for inviting me.
Oh, it was a pleasure. Thank you, and you have a great day, and happy Easter.
Okay, happy Easter to you too.
Thank you. Okay, so that was a very informative call for someone who called. Today we are having open mic day. Take the opportunity to call in and to just share with us some of the things that you are doing differently to stay encouraged and to stay ahead of the game, even when it appears as if the odds are stacked against you. I want to just share some pointers as we go, as entrepreneurs and as small business people. We have to know who we are and what we are about. Sandra just mentioned about knowing our clients and all of that. But we have to know about what are our values. You know, a lot of times we are looking to collaborate on projects, and sometimes we collaborate with the wrong people for the wrong reasons. So what are our values? Values are the ideals and beliefs that are important to each individual. And I oftentimes say a partnership is like, it's like a marriage. So you got to be able to sit and to communicate effectively to each other. Values influence the decisions an individual makes and the action he or she will take. We have, each and every one of us, have our own personal values. We do. And a lot of times we think people ought to read between the lines. No, we need to take the time, especially if we're going to go into business with them, and discuss what these things mean to you. You can't wait until they send you, until the horse is gone through the gate, because then it's going to be too late. The race will already be gone. So we need to clear that out. And I'm telling you these things, not because I've done them all right, but because I have experienced them and I can share with you. Values are influenced by our culture, our family, our personalities, and our environment. So we are living in a world of diversity, especially for those of us who live in the United States. We are living in a world of diversity. And the way that I do business and you do business is not the same way other cultures do business. And we must take the time to sit and to understand about the collaborations that we are getting into. You heard on the call Sandra mentioned about being in network marketing. Even for those people who are doing that, don't just recruit any and everybody. Understand about the people that you are bringing on your team, because those people will be your family in the long run. Because we are living in a world of diversity, we view things differently, which provides a variety of possible solutions. And we must be cautious in learning about those things, because as we learn about those things that does not work for us, we also know that they are the same things that will not work for the next person. But instead of having a conflict develop out of that, we will be able to clarify the things that we will not accept, and we also have clarity on the things that they will not accept. And then we can come to a compromise of what will be best worth it for the project. Another thing that we oftentimes neglect to look at is a word. It is a five-letter word called power. Power can be a negative and it can be a positive. Because in business, we need to have a full understanding of where our power lies. Power fuel growth. I tend to partner my passion with my power, and that keeps me grounded and keeps me focused on what it is I need to do, when and how I'm going to get there. So our power gives us the capacity to do things. while our passion is what fuels the growth. As we look at the word power, we know that that exists in relationships, whether professional or personal. So we need to focus on the positive aspect of power. As business partners, and you know that each person has their own power, and you are not going to use it to manipulate or control the next person. But you're going to use it to help to build the value that will benefit both partners. Another thing I am doing much more of these days is to take a little bit more time in making the decisions that I make. Because sometimes I tend to say, all right, I don't want to put so much time into giving an answer. But over the past year, I have found out and I have come to realize and understand for me, and this is just for me, how important it is to pray on things a bit longer before I make my decision. And when I say longer, I'm not talking about months or weeks or so, you know, find out what works for you. And because we all have our intuition, and a lot of times I know for me, I ignore my intuition. And honestly, to every time that I ignore my intuition, it has gotten me into trouble. Things that I quickly regret. So I'm here to tell you, we are all intuitive and we ought to use it to our advantage. And since I've learned that lesson and I am beginning to obey my intuition and to follow through, I am ahead of the game. If you are just joining us, today's open mic day at the A New Day show, you can call in and share some of the things that you are doing that is keeping you encouraged. Even when you go after that contract or that grant money and you don't get it, but you are still encouraged and you get up the next morning and you continue to do your business. I know one of my Facebook friends last night, she posted on there. She's from the New York area, and she posted that she has secured 9 new clients. She did not say over what period. However, that was encouraging to me and to a lot of other entrepreneurs to see that even during these times that people are referring to as challenging times, there is someone who has gotten on her books 9 new clients. And those are the things that I want you to call in and share today. You know, what have you been doing differently? You know, what is fueling you? I want you to pick the phone up and dial 646-915-8166. And again, I want to encourage you to visit my website, www.daphneclarkhudson.com. Pick up a copy of my book, Conversation on Success. and celebrating 365 days of gratitude. They both will make a wonderful, wonderful gift. So, I want to take a little commercial break here, and I encourage you to call in 646-915-8166. Share some of the things that you are doing in your business to leverage and to make a difference.
SuperFastLinkBuilding.com. The biggest challenge for business owners and entrepreneurs like you is getting your site to show up on the first page of a Google search. It's been reported that Google often changes their search reporting methods multiple times in the same day. That's why you can't use just any search optimization company. The SEO company that you choose has to think fast and move even faster. At SuperFastLinkBuilding.com, we've designed and developed a unique system to start positioning your site closer to the top. Our complex system of websites and blogs, along with our proprietary algorithms, are pushing our clients' sites to page one every day. Your site will never rise on its own. You've got to do something about it. Subscribe today. SuperFastLinkBuilding.com.
All right, so listen. Stop over there and support our sponsors at SuperFastLinkBuilding. And I want to encourage you to visit us at...
Hello, and welcome to Dr. Daphne Clark Hudson Radio Hour, and we're glad you're here. Hey, listen, get over to drdaphne.in right now and get your advertisement for only $10 placed on the International Bulletin Board. That's right, for only $10, you can have your message seen by our thousands of listeners. So get over there right now, drdaphne.in. We thank you for listening to the show, and we will continue with it now. Have a great day.
All right. I want to encourage the people in the chat room, if you have something to contribute, which I know you do, I want you to call in 646-915-8166. I want to share also some things that I am beginning to initiate. And one of those things are collaborations on projects. Because, you know, as entrepreneurs, a lot of times we are doing everything for ourselves. And I decided to do this after I was reading in a little book I bought, Strategy for Growth. And one of the things, it is by Ken Lawson. And one of the things that he focused on here is joint ventures and partnerships. And I know that there's a lot of people who are doing that and is seeing great results. So I want to share some of the points that Ken Lawson has put here for us to go by. And I want you to take what works for you and what does not work for you, you discard it. Because not everything works for everybody, but we can sure take advantage of those things that work for us. Reasons for collaboration. A joint venture is the pooling of resources and expertise by two or more businesses to achieve a particular goal. The risk and awards are also shared. The reasons for forming a partnership can vary according to the needs of the business, but the overall objective is to grow the business in profitability. In a profitable way, and to fill gaps that might be holding the enterprise back. There are several reasons for entering into a joint venture, and you can see which applies most to you by asking the following questions. Bear in mind that it is vital to carry out an analysis of the business prior to collaboration. The SWOT analyst is ideal. Number one question that you need to ask: are you looking to gain the competitive edge? The fewer companies supplying to the same customer as you are, the greater the chance of increasing sales within a diversifying into another product and service. Through collaboration, your company can grow and at the same time reduce the amount of competition you face. I want to welcome guest 1081 to the chat. Let us hear from you by sharing what are some of the things that you are doing differently to stay encouraged as an entrepreneur. The second question to ask yourself is, do you want to minimize your risk? Business is all about taking risk. Sharing risk by collaboration is a good way to ease the burden of risk in your own company. Question number three: is your aim to gain access to more markets and customers? Collaboration with another company that has existing markets in other places, perhaps overseas, is a way to increase market share without having to take the risk of a new penetration. Question number four. I want to welcome guest 1091 to the show. Question number four. Is your aim to gain access to more knowledge and expertise? Collaboration with another company that has a record of technological resolution is a good way to benefit from their expertise and to maintain your position in the market without having to invest in new research and development department. Question number five. Are you looking to reduce costs and lead times? One of the prime concerns in business is to keep costs under control and, where possible, attempt to reduce costs without loss of quality of customers. Alignment. Collaboration with another company could work in your favor when it comes to the cost involved launching a new product and reducing costs that leads time on a current product. Question number six. Is your aim to accelerate the rate of change? A business cannot survive if it does not change to meet the prevailing conditions of choice and technology. Companies collaborate to ensure that they are not left behind in the race to provide what their customers want. the types of collaboration to consider in the context of growth can range from a simple informal agreement through the far more complicated equity joint venture agreement that creates a legal entity capable of trading in its own right by including strategic alliances, quality alliances, marketing collaborations, products and production collaborations, supply partnerships. Remember, it's open mic day. I encourage you to call in 646-915-8166. I would like to welcome guest 1103 to the chat. Let us know what are some things you are doing by calling 646-915-8166. Now, what is collaboration? In a business context, the accepted definition for collaboration is to work with another on a joint project. Organizations work together for mutual advantage, except in the case of an equity joint venture. There is rarely a major transfer of funds or a large investment of equity by one company in the other. The main requirements for any type of collaboration are trust, goodwill, and expectation of mutual benefits. Although there is usually a firm contractual basis for all types of collaboration, trust is still an integral part of the success of the project. We oftentimes hear it said that people do business with people that they love and trust. And it's the same thing with the collaboration. If people love and trust you, then they will want to collaborate with you. It is often necessary to protect some information, special skills, and process that does not become part of the transfer of information or that is not relevant to the project being jointly undertaken. This can and should be ring-fenced. That is, funds are specifically set aside for use of this purpose and are used exclusively for that. If this protection is not provided, the business could suffer or even disappear. It is significant that the fence is understood by all those people working on the project. It is natural for employees to want to show others their own company's prowess and abilities and to talk up the business to others. Ring fence is vital. This can result in the disclosure of company confidentiality information that is both necessary for the advancement of technology and the market position. Which type of collaborations? Although several types of collaborations are described, there are no hard and fast rules to what apply to be determined and most advantageous type of collaboration for your business. So it's a personal choice. A great deal depends on the circumstances and reason behind this strategy that selected as most likely to meet the needs of your particular company. It will be necessary to tailor the details of the partnership to suit your individual business. Often businesses find it appropriate to mix and match different types of collaboration. I was speaking with a PR strategist yesterday, and she mentioned, she said, you know, I also do combo, like combo meals. And it just goes to show how creative she is. Is that there's no one set thing that works. And it's the same thing with the collaboration. You probably find out that you're going to use one part from here and one part from another there to do what it is you need to do. Often, business find it appropriate to mix and match different types of collaboration. It is often the case that mix changes during the life of the partnership. If there are several partners in the project, then it is normal to have a different type of agreement for each person and each partner. Although the flexibility of joint venture and collaboration is general, should be mentioned, it is also pertinent to explain that such amalgamation of companies do not need to be a lifetime commitment. Joint ventures are formed for a limited lifespan to further a specific project, and on a completion of the task are disbanded. Let us hear from you, 646-915-8166. What are some things that you are doing in your businesses to stay encouraged and to get up every day and want to do your business? We heard the caller, Sandra, shared the things that she is doing and to stay competitive. She mentioned a lot about social media and what are the best accounts to have. And having the accounts are one thing, and knowing how to leverage them is another. And I think that's why it is so important for us all to have mentors or coaches that we are working with to help us take advantage of that. Because I'm telling you, I have been leaving lots and lots of money on the table because I am not properly utilizing that which I am supposed to be utilizing. So, you know, what I'm sharing here today is for me as well as for you. I'm not saying it because I'm all doing good in all those areas. I'm sharing it because I need to take these actions and do these things as well. So we are both doing it together as we grow our business. So whatever else, we were so well informed by the first caller who shared about all the things that we can do to stay afloat of what's going on and to really leverage all the things that are out there for us. Let's see what our strategic alliance looks like. The term strategic alliance and joint venture are interchangeable, as strategic alliance is often set up when a separate legal entity is not required. The idea of strategic alliance is for two or more companies to pool ideas and resource to work on a common item. There is no amalgamation of the company, and neither of them loses any part of their identity. At the end of the agreement, they will continue to trade such as they have always done. Those forms of alliances could lead into a more formal agreement. As an example, the car manufacturers Volkswagen, SEAT, and Ford entered into a strategic alliance for the development of the new MPV multipurpose vehicle product range. Each company adopted the basic design, but each added its own special touch to the customize the finished vehicle to its own specification. This eventually led to the new manufacturing facility under the name of Auto Europa that was based in Portugal. The terms of the strategic alliance are agreed at the onset and will cover areas such as extent of the work, time scales, information sharing, termination, cost sharing, risk sharing, ownership of intellectual property rights, use of information generated by these products. A strategic alliance can be the primary step in forming a joint venture agreement that will create a separate company trading in its own right. It allows companies to work together to achieve a stated objective common to both partners. Partners maintain their independence throughout the period of the alliance. Airline companies often form strategic alliances on certain routes. An alliance allows ticketing, check-in facility, and bag handling to be done by either airline. British Airways and Libra operating a strategic alliance on routes between London and Spanish countries. Ford, Volkswagen, and SEAT had the strategic alliance for the design and develop of the MPV that was manufactured by Auto Europa in Portugal. The products were bagged at Galaxy in Al Alhambra. The alliance can be dissolved once the strategic objective has been reached. Strategic partnership is the other one we want to look at. This differs from the strategic alliance in that one of the partners usually takes a minority financial stake in the other company, but not enough to form an acquisition to take over. A separate business entity is not formed. The partnership is formed to strengthen or fill a weakness or gap in the operational ability of one of the partners. As an example, consider that your business may produce items of excellent quality, but that finding the right market and outlet is proving difficult. Partnering with a company that has the necessary expertise in finding such markets will be to mutual advantage. It could be that the reverse in the case. You have the ability to access these markets and are seeking further products to expand your range, but you do not want to the expense of new development of a product. Having a financial stake in another business is a good way to build the enterprise closely together. Strategic partnerships are particularly useful when two companies want to bring their complementary skills and abilities together to offer a combined package to the customer. It fits in with planned growth. It allows two high-profile companies to collaborate for a mutual advantage. No separate entity is created at the partnership, only operates when one of the companies receives an inquiry form from an outside source for the service that they will provide. One of the major benefits is that the two companies, to get each other's well, which will improve their working relationships. A classic example of working in this way is the telecommunication service providers who developed strategy, partnership, and various companies to offer communication based in business needs. Joint venture companies, or otherwise JVC. There is no universal recognized definition for joint venture. The most common definition is a collaborative business venture formed by two or more separate organizations for a particular purpose. And that creates an independent business entity for that purpose. The joint venture companies has its own identity and will be a legal entity able to trade and carry the business for which it is formed. The majority of joint venture companies, also called equity JVCs, they are formed by the input of various forms of equity by the business administration and make up partners and make up the parent company. The equity can make various forms, but usually consists of cash investment, technology investment, plant, machinery, land, building, and sometimes even management skills. The joint venture companies has its own identity and will be a legal entity also to trade and carry on the business for which it is formed. The rewards, both profits and losses, are allocated between the partner companies, usually in a direct ratio to the equal allocation. Equity allocation can be determined either at the start up phase or as a result of further modification during the course of the agreement. JVCs can be formed for a number of purposes, covering such diverse functions as design and development, production, technology, transfer, and marketing. It is not unusual for companies to direct companies with each other to set up a JVC and to remain the companies during the lifetime of the JVC. If the two companies are in competition, it is necessary to set clear boundaries when the JVC is formed, detailing the type of JVC that can do that neither founding company can compromise. Clearly defined at the end point, clearly defined an end point at the beginning, unless it is intended that at some future date the joint venture company should be restructured and perhaps floated off as a separate and self-contained business, no longer depending upon nor answerable to either establishing organization. Let me hear from you. What are you doing differently? 646-915-8166. Come on, share some of the great things that you are doing with other entrepreneurs. People are giving up. People are distressed. People are throwing in the towel. It is our responsibility to encourage each other. For those of us who are in the position to mentor others, do that. to coach others, do that. Just extend a hand to someone else. I'm here to tell you that you will be glad you did. So we are talking today about some of the things that we are doing differently to stay encouraged during these challenging times as entrepreneurs, and also to stay afloat. And I'm sharing with you some of the different ways that you can collaborate with others so we can do what we are doing. I just finished sharing about joint venture companies. And now I am going to move into how, yes, we're still going to continue on the joint venture companies. Okay, yes, we are. International joint ventures are becoming increasingly popular as a way for business to break into new developing markets overseas for the transfer of technology into developing companies to help to build manufacturers. One of the numerous examples of this type of joint venture company include the sale of automotive technology and the means of manufacturing a burgeoning business motor vehicle industry. In such cases, an endpoint is not always feasible, and the joint venture should continue to operate as long as it conforms to normal business criteria. Some of the pitfalls that could be encountered in international joint ventures are the ratio of the equity holding, government restrictions on the level of foreign investment, and the reputation of profits from the country in which the JVC is established. It is also the case that intellectual property right protection is not observed as strictly as it should be in some countries. So again, you know, we have to do our research and take our time. We must do our due diligence. We must do our due diligence. You know, they said sometimes if it looked too good to be true, then it is, you know. So we just have to, again, I'm going back to following our heart and following our intuition. And just go with it. Go with it. Sales of finished products from a JVC need to be considered. Depending on the type of JVC established, the output might be sold back to the partnering company for them to sell onto their own customers. A direct market system could be set up, allowing JVC to set direct to customers without certain designated market territories. You have to set up a diagrammic example of joint venture companies are shown here. You have partner one and you have partner two. Then you have the joint venture company as the largest of the three entities here. And in the joint venture company include the legal entity, the articles, the ownership, the investment, the management, and this tragedy. Joint venture companies. If partner one supply components or finished product to the joint venture, then royalties should be paid to that partner. If partner two makes facilities available, certainly in the case of land or buildings, then rent for these facilities should be paid by the joint venture company. You have sales from partner one, you have sales from partner two. Then you have the technology, equipment, components, and marketing and training from partner one, which result in royalties, finished products, or profit share. While in partner two, they're still doing sales, but they have a local expertise, government access, markets, and facilities, which results in finished products, rent for the building or the land, and profit share. And both of this goes back into the joint venture company. The contractual agreement involved in the formation of a joint venture company are complex and are best handled by a special legal firm. Imprecise agreement can lead to possible breakdown of the joint venture company, and that would be a costly exercise to put right. Products and production collaboration. These are often forms of collaboration that enable business to grow by using the technology and technical expertise of others, other companies, to enhance its own abilities without incurring the expenses of major investment into research and development production facility. Joint ventures are a way of allowing resources and expertise to be shared to achieve a particular aim. Use this checklist to determine whether a joint venture is right for your business. And I will give you time to grab your pen and pad so that I can give you a checklist item, the checklist items here. Okay, I had enough time to take a sip of water, and you had enough time to get your pen and paper. So now, let us do, let me give you the checklist. Number one on the checklist. Do you want to expand into new products? I want to welcome guests 1339 to the chat. Please feel free to share what you are doing differently. If you are an entrepreneur, to stay encouraged or even to grow your business during these times. And right now, I'm just giving a checklist to consider if you are going into joint ventures. Number one for the person that just joined us, do you want to expand into new products? Do you want to expand but lack of resources for a dedicated research and design policy? Do you want to expand but lack of resources to undertake marketing in new area? Do you need more resources? Do you need increased capacity? Do you want to expand into markets in other parts of the world? Are you happy to share risk so that the whole burden is not placed on one company? Well, that's the checklist, and I would say if you answer yes to those, then you should consider joint venture partnership. Research and design collaboration. There are now specialist research and design R&D companies that will undertake work on your behalf and apply the brain power of their own resources on behalf of your problems and ideas. They have one or two experts in your type of business who understand the environment in which you work and can apply that knowledge to your advantage. One of the key issues is to be managed and agree on in this type of collaboration involves the ownership of the new idea, product, and process generated through the collaboration. The major sources of this type of collaboration are universities, where graduate research engineers, for example, equipped with the state-of-the-art facility, are able to offer solutions to their problems, and in many cases can show examples of the proposed solution. This is particularly relevant when the solution is sufficiently novel or original to justify it being protected by a patent or a copyright. Ownership of these rights is extremely important as they form a valuable part of a business intangible asset. All rules cover the ownership of intellectual property must be established at the start of the agreement. The normal rule is that the party who pays for the work to be carried out owns the right to such property. However, the subject can be clouded by legal agreements as to questions of background and foreground information. It is vital to establish who brought what knowledge to the research and who create the new knowledge. Very, 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 very important Remember, we still have time to take your call and to hear from you. Please call 646-915-8166 and let us hear from you. Let us hear from you about some of the things you have adopted that is working, that is helping you to grow your business. You know, some of the things that prevented you from throwing in the towel. Come on, encourage others. Encourage others. Help them to stay afloat of what's going on in their lives as entrepreneurs. Joint production is the next collaboration that we are looking at. Joint production is a form of collaboration in which two or more companies collaborate to produce separate parts of a complete product and support one of the partners to carry out the final assembler operation. This type of collaboration differs from the normal customer supplier partnership in that partners share equally in the risk and rewards. The new Airbus A380 aircraft is an example of joint production. The main parts of the airplane, wings, fuselage, engine, are produced by different companies, with a final assembly being undertaken in a different facility. The disadvantage of this type of collaboration can be technical and logical complexity involved. The great advantage of this type of collaboration is that it allows the individual company to remain a separate production entity and still achieve growth. Now we are looking at licensing. There are times when you want to expand your business to take advantage of new markets and or new customers. I think all of us are at this place. The opportunity may present itself to widen the horizon of sales to overseas market in which you know you could succeed and that would prove to be profitable. The opportunity is there waiting for you to take advantage of this solution. You are unable to increase your production sufficiently to supply both markets. You may not have the facility to cope. You may not have the workforce to meet the production deadline. Lack of finances may prevent you from taking full advantage of this situation. One possibility is to enter into a licensing agreement with another company, perhaps, but not necessarily in the vicinity of the possibly market. A licensing agreement is a formal agreement between businesses in which the primary company gives official permission to another manufacturer and or trade its proprietary products or copy its service and know-how in the marketplace. such licenses are legally binding and generally involve the payment of fee to cover the supply of the initial information such as design, manufacturing, and processing to enable the product to be identical in all respects. You may also wish to grant the use of patent information and to allow the secondary company to use the product name and trademark to enhance product value, customer acceptance of the product or service, or both. Products, names, and trademarks need to be protected under the agreement. It is also necessary to oversee and approve the quality of the finished product or service to ensure that the good name of your company is not harmed. To recompense for the loss of profit encountered because the manufacture and sale has occurred in another place, you should request a royalty payment for each item sold. A royalty could be a fixed amount or a percentage of the selling price. You should negotiate what this will be at the agreement stage. Royalties can remain constant throughout the life of the agreement or can be linked to the amount of products sold. The license can be for a fixed period of time or it can be unlimited. The license can be exclusive to the licensee or applicable only for a specific market. Another strategy is to buy back some of the finished products to sell in your market, whereby increasing your sale potential without the need of more internal facilities. It is a normal part of the growth strategy to license in products that you would manufacture and sell to your own customers and thereby diversifying without the risk of developing new products to the products that might be acceptable by your existing customers. So the licensor collects royalties, can be collected in a lump sum payment, component revenues, or finished products. And over the other side, a licensor can also benefit from technology, technical assistance, equipment, components. And again, the licensor at the end, with this example, shows the agreement might work. So it's a win-win, win-win for all, a win-win for all. So I just pray that you got something out of these things that I've shared that will help you to build your business and to stay afloat and to stay encouraged, to know that we as entrepreneurs, we need to remove the ego and the pride out of the way, and sometimes the shame too of saying, oh, I've been doing this and I did not succeed. I don't want to bother again. Please, please, please. Learn from the lessons. Learn from your experience. Take the lessons out of it. Don't be ashamed to ask somebody for help. And don't be too stingy to invest in you. There is so much out there that we can take advantage of in which to build our business and to make a difference. There are people out there who have done it, and we really do not need to reinvent the wheel. We really don't. We have enough resource out there that we can invest in ourselves, and we can hire a mentor or a coach to help us to get the result that we deserve. So let us not be sitting by ourselves and not accomplishing anything and think that we are in this alone, because we really aren't in this alone. With the expansion of the internet and everything, we can be doing business all over the world. So why don't we take advantage of that? Let us do that. You know, this is 2012, and we still have 8 months that we can create a fabulous, fabulous ending. I am committed to doing that for my business, and I pray that you will be committed to doing it for your business as well. For your business as well. I want for you to just decide on where it is you need the help in and go and look after it. Today is, remember at the beginning I read from 365 days, celebrating 365 days of gratitude. And the one for today, April 4th, is gratitude for a painful lesson. And I want to read that. That's from Benson Medina. "10 years ago, my sister, Lani, left her corporate position to follow her dream of owning and managing her own business. She combined her marketing and business savvy with the Hawaii's premier lavender farmer, Ali Aichang, to create one of the top visitors attraction in Hawaii. They grew a modest Maui farm into a multi-million dollar business. But when Ali unexpectedly died in his sleep in April 2011, the entire weight of the business fell on Lani's shoulders. While consumed with the redirecting the new vision for the farm, her longtime life partner, Michael, drowned in a diving accident on July 1st, the crushing grief stopped her cold. But the story of a man who took his own life because he was unable to resolve his grief, I just got distracted by the phone. While consumed with redirecting the new vision of the farm, her long life partner, Michael, drowned in a diving accident on July 1st. The crushing grief stopped her. When the story of a man who took his own life because he was unable to resolve his grief over the loss of his wife shifted Lani's attention to the plight of others. She had to accept what Ali and Michael were gone. Then she chose to see her situation with gratitude, because her life experience taught her that gratitude creates action, whereas despair can be paralyzing. Grief brings pain, but pain reaches us that we heal ourselves when we help to heal others. Gratitudes bring lessons, and the lessons bring healing. Isn't that amazing? You know, in this life, we never know what deck of cards we will be handed. We really don't know. And we just need to play the best game ever with that card that we are dealt. So you might be experiencing some painful lessons in your life now. I wanted to embrace it and show gratitude for it and see what you can do with that lesson that you have learned from there. Well, I want to thank the person that called in, Sandra from the New York area, calling and really sharing with us about some of the things that she's doing, not only for herself, but also for her clients, that is helping them to make a difference into their business. I invite you. I think my guest this Sunday coming up is going to be Dr. Fema Bryant Davis, a powerful, powerful lady. And I think I still need to confirm, but I think that she is going to be my guest on this Sunday's episode. I want to tell you all to have a blessed Easter. Enjoy, family. Enjoy the reason for the season. And, you know, you might be going through some challenges and some struggles too, but know that there is light, bright light at the end of the tunnel. Bright light at the end of the tunnel. I want to encourage you to ask for help. Get a mentor. Do your journaling. Get a coach. Join a mastermind group that will add value to you and that you will add value to. Get an accountability partner. become part of a prayer and or meditation group where you can spend committed time to your spirituality and to your spiritual well-being. I tell you, regardless of what we are doing, we know that it is not up to us. It is up to our Creator. But the one thing I can tell you, when you develop a strong faith, it doesn't matter what tornadoes and storms you are hit through. I am here to tell you that you shall rise. Yes, you will. It doesn't matter how bad it looks. You will rise. I am telling you from some personal experiences that I have learned over the past year. I want to encourage you to stay true. Stay true to your heart. Stay true to your intuition. Don't ignore them. Don't ignore them. Do not ignore them. Before you run to somebody else to get their stamp of approval, sit still and pay attention to your intuition. We all have them for a reason, and they are authentically ours. Authentically ours. They are true to you. They will not betray you. They will not let you down. So why don't we just commit today to make the decision to listen more to our intuition and to follow its guidance. I know from my personal experience that every time I follow my intuition, I come out a winner. And I know that once you begin to do that, you too will be a winner. If you know anyone or if you yourself has a story to share about the journey that you're on, I want you to reach out and call me at 866-337-3945 and let's have a pre-show conversation to see whether your story is a match to what I am doing here at the A New Day Show. I would like to have a conversation with you and to have you share your story with others around the world. It doesn't matter where you are, because we are global. It doesn't matter who you are. Every story is important, and every person needs an opportunity to tell their story. For those of you who joined today, I want to thank you for your support. I encourage you to go by the website and mark our remark or comments on the page. I ask you to please join me on Facebook at Dynamic Daphne. We also have a page for the A New Day Blog Talk Radio Show. I ask you to join me on Twitter at Dynamic Daphne. And, you know, check out my blogs and just leave me a feedback and give me some words of encouragement. You know, everybody needs a little pat on the back every now and then. Please feel free to share the link to this show with others so that they too can listen and I'm praying that they will find a one little thing that they can use out of these conversations here on the A New Day Show. I thank you as always for your support. Know that I could not do this without you. If there's anything that you are wanting for me to do here on the show, connect with me, inbox me, send me a message, and I will do my best in supplying what your request is. And as always, you were created for greatness. Do not allow anyone or anything to derail you or tell you otherwise. I will see you on Sunday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern. And happy Easter to you. And I look forward to spending Resurrection Day with you on Sunday. Stay blessed.
What's the plight that you've called me to? The thing I'm set aside to do. I trust you, Lord, to see me through. Will you let me look in your heart? Way through.
the breaking of day. It's destiny. That I know what I know, what I know, what I'm here for, yeah. Oh, for showing me to the Lord tonight and directing me, hallelujah, to my destiny. He's a strong God. You may not be able to touch it right now. Begin to thank Him. Begin to praise Him. Begin to thank Him. Begin to praise Him. Begin to thank Him. Begin to praise Him. Hallelujah. Can you see it? Can you feel it? Everybody, you're going into a new dimension tonight. You'll never ever see it again the same way. You'll never ever touch it again the same way. You've been called with a great call. It's a monumental call. You've been called to change nations and generations. Come on and praise your God.